This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
In Matthew chapter 5, in the book, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, Jesus saw the crowds and he went up on the mountainside and sat down. And his disciples came to him and he began to teach them the following. A few weeks ago, maybe even last week, we talked about Matthew chapter 28 when Jesus is giving his last instructions to his followers. Go and make disciples, teaching them to observe. Some versions say obey. I like the word observe because it connotates a little bit more process of thinking and doing versus just doing. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So 18 years ago is our birthday celebration. The very first message was John 3:16, and then our second message was Matthew 28, and then our third message for the next 6-7 weeks was the Beatitudes, because we wanted to go back and observe all that Jesus commanded. And so we went back to the beginning, and this is the beginning Jesus is teaching his disciples. I will tell you that the disciples, if I was sitting there while Jesus is talking about blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and we talk about that posture, placing your body, your heart, your mind into a posture of poverty, which is like, I need you. I would probably be very discouraged. And I'm being honest, if you're part of our church long enough, you know that I try to read myself into the story as the antagonist, not the hero. And so, because it reminded me of the passage in the Psalms, who may ascend your holy hill? Those who have clean hands, well, that would not be me. Pure heart, that wouldn't have been me on my own. And so this is that same vein. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I believe Jesus is talking to his disciples. And if I was sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would probably be a little discouraged because I could not meet this standard. And we can't without Jesus. This is why this whole beatitude is pointing our desperate need for Jesus. Blessed are those who have, those who have clean hands and pure heart. Well, I can't do that outside of Christ. I tried. Worked for a few minutes until someone cut me off on the road. And we talked about, bowing our knee to Jesus and Judas, it took 30 pieces of silver for him to turn Jesus over. And I'm thinking, well, heck, I've done it for a lot less than that. Some of you have been a part of our church so long, you've heard all my stories. Now I'm repeating them, as someone told me. Hurt my feelings. It was like, that's what I do with my mom. She keeps like, it's just hard to tell her, like, you've already told me that story. Hurt me. Anyway, but it didn't take 30 pieces of silver for me to turn Jesus over. It didn't take the threat of a fiery furnace for me to bow down to the idol. It didn't take much at all. And that's why I'm here to tell you as a church, we are, maybe you're like me, in a sense that I am lost without Jesus. If you can't remember anything, I hope you understand that. I need Jesus. Jesus helps me to have that posture of poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn our own sins and the sins of our community. I shared a story of, I finally shared this story. It was a gruesome story about fostering. And we have a Chi Alpha connection, campus ministry connection. And it was horrific where the birth parents were so angry at the system, they hired some hitmen to find their daughter. And they did exactly that up in Michigan. Mark and Sue, were you familiar with the story? Former Chi Alpha. Somebody that we would know in Chi Alpha world, Nick Furtado, it was his dad that shared the gospel, and Nick Furtado came to know the Lord anyway. So they burst into the home, and they shot the parents, killed them, and the father-in-law that was living near the grandpa, and they grabbed their daughter, and they grabbed the birth parent's daughter and took her. Thank the Lord, the perpetrators were not that bright, and they took the cell phones with them. And the police, within, I believe, 3 hours, were able to ping the phones, and they found the perpetrators and the daughter. And they were at a truck stop trying to sell the girl. And so we live in a broken world that desperately, desperately needs Jesus. Blessed are those who mourn for the loss, for the lambs that have turned their back on the shepherd Jesus. Blessed are the meek, that we don't take power. And this is so, so counterculture. And I would hate for it to think that it seeps into the church. Somehow we thought that force and power would be the way to bring victory. But Jesus tells his disciples, and he's telling us, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And then verse 6, I was challenged as a pastor. I was like, Lord, do I have this? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And when I preached this about 3-4 weeks ago, I was convicted. And I said, it wasn't like, okay, now I'm going to have hunger and thirst for righteousness. It was not like, Mario, change your attitude. It was, I realized that I needed more Jesus. Give me your heart. So that week I spent more time in prayers. Lord, give me your heart, Lord. Because my heart doesn't do this. And blessed are the merciful, because mercy is for those who don't deserve it. You know, we have a cross right here, and we'll always have a cross there in the center. It's part of the reasons I am not centered is I don't want to take from the center. Does that make sense? I know sometimes we'll have guest speakers and they'll just put it here in the middle for, you know, for balance sake. But me, I'm thinking I don't want to interrupt the attention of the cross. Merciful for those who don't deserve it. And I didn't deserve it. And I thank the Lord. So I am imagining, if I was sitting at the feet of Jesus, I'm imagining, you know, maybe that picture that you see, you know, some field, and, you know, Jesus is on a rock, and I'm on the ground with my, you know, my robe, and listening, and I'm like, I would be so disheartened, because if I was honest with myself, I could see that, Lord, I struggle with mercy. I want mercy, but I mean, I struggle giving mercy. And so the answer is not, Lord, make me a better Mario. I mean, Lord, give me your heart. Do the transplant. I need your heart. I need your mind. And blessed are the pure in heart. We talked about that last week. And then today, blessed are the peacemakers. So I want to start off with a little story, if I can, and if I can read it. But I do have my glasses. Isn't it fun that you need glasses? Is Dr. Alberto, he's like, yes. He's an eye doctor. So today I want to talk to you about a powerful description of what it means to live as citizens of his kingdom. These are not just poetic sayings of the Beatitudes. But again, as if you don't hear anything I'm saying, all this is only possible through Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I saw a movie, I can't remember how far back, and when I saw the movie, it reminded me of this passage. When I say the word Desmond Doss, does anybody know who Desmond Doss is? They made a movie about him, yes, a few years ago. Desmond Doss was a young man from Virginia raised with deep faith and strong conviction. He would never take a life. When World War II broke out, he felt called to serve, but not with a weapon. Instead, he enlisted as a medic, determined to save lives rather than to take them. His fellow soldiers mocked him. They called him a coward, and they couldn't understand how someone can go to war without a gun. But Desmond stood firm. And again, this is a description. I'm not prescribing this, but I'm making a point. So you have to make sure you know the difference. They couldn't understand how someone would go to war, and this is, we're talking about the person, Desmond. While everyone else was taking life, he says, I'm going to be saving it. And then there came the Battle of Okinawa, one of the bloodiest battles of the war, and amid gunfire, explosions, and chaos, Desmond ran into danger again and again and again, dragging wounded men to safety. He lowered them down a cliff with a rope, praying each time, Lord, help me to get one more. And by that end of the day, Desmond had actually saved 75 men without firing a single shot. In this story, it comes to me that he was a peacemaker in the valley of death. He actively brought healing, hope, and life. And when I'm about to go into the sermon, Jesus didn't say, blessed are the peaceful, but blessed are the peacemakers. It's an active role. It means stepping into broken places and bringing restoration. It means standing firm in Jesus, even when misunderstood. It means choosing compassion. Well, let me be clear that peacemaker doesn't mean peacekeeping. Peacekeeping is often, I would say, passive. Sometimes peacekeeping avoids conflict at all cost. It's the mindset of don't rock the boat. Peacemaking is active. It steps into conflict, and the goal is reconciliation. Peacemaking, blessed are the peacemakers, is in the work of reconciliation between people and God. I think of my friend James in the audience, and Amber, and Brian, and Cecile, and now Mark and Sue are on the campus trying to bring reconciliation to those who are lost on the campus, because they're at enmity with God, and they're actively being peacemakers. It's the ministry of healing relationships, restoring that what is broken, and building bridges where there are walls. And we sang the song about this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, Paul writes, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. I'm not here to embarrass anybody, because they probably don't want us to recognize it or publicly, but I'm sorry nonetheless. But thank you, our Chi Alpha missionaries. In a couple weeks, September 21st, we're going to have a Chi Alpha Sunday right here. and where they're going to lead worship and the word. But we are in the business of reconciliation as a church. Amen. I have another friend. I might as well just go for it. Hopefully they're not going to be mad at me, but I have another friend in our back row here. Ed ministers to those who are basically they're what we call shut-ins. They can't leave because they don't have a car or because they've reached an age where they don't, you know, have a license anymore. And I appreciate what Ed does on Friday nights, and he's bringing reconciliation. They can't come here, so I asked him, he's going there to build bridges. Now, Jesus, God is our original peacemaker, and he calls us, me and you, to join him in that work. Because the Bible says, Jesus says that peacemakers will be called sons of God because they reflect the character of the Father. When you are called a son of someone, it meant that you shared in their nature. Think about it. God didn't want us to climb the ladder because we couldn't do it. He came down to us. Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, came down the ladder from his heavenly throne and came and dwelled with us and died on the cross for us. And that's what peacemaking is. When we forgive someone who hurts us, when we step into the conflict to bring healing, when we speak truth and love, we are showing the world a glimpse of the Father's heart. Have you been hurt by someone? You don't have to raise your hand. I know we all have been. If you've lived life a few years, you've been hurt by someone. But God may be calling us into the role of peacemaker. Calling you into the role of peacemaker. I will tell you that being a peacemaker is not easy. It's costly. It mostly costs pride. It costs comfort. And maybe even reputation, like the story we read. Jesus himself was crucified for being what? A peacemaker. He brought peace. He was trying to bring peace between man and his holy Father. But it came at the cost of his life. Matthew 5:44 says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, again, I'm not making light of it. I kind of mentioned last week at the very end. I have a family member that loves to talk to me about, you know, it's like end times. It doesn't matter when we call, how we call, it's that. And I appreciate it. I mean, he is fixated on it. And I gently and politely say, hey, bro, I appreciate what you're telling me, but I'm still kind of stuck in the first grade trying to love my enemies and pray for those who persecute me. Again, I'm not saying that's not important, but I'm just trying to go back to what Jesus said, go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. And Jesus tells us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So a lot of my time is, Lord, help me to have your heart and to live this out. It's not easy, but it is the way of the cross. A peacemaking could mean having hard conversations. Peacemaking could be forgiveness instead of grudges. It could mean choosing unity instead of division, and especially when it's uncomfortable. But here's the beauty of it, as I've kind of alluded early on. We don't do it alone. It's not like you just kind of grit your teeth and tighten your belt and clench your fist and I'm going to be a peacemaker. No, the Holy Spirit helps us. And that's why I pray almost every morning, Lord, help me to have your heart this morning. The world doesn't need a better Mario. the world needs a martyr that has Jesus as his heart and his brain and his life. The promise is beautiful. It's the promise is to peacemakers. Jesus gives this beautiful promise, they shall be called sons of God. It literally exemplifies the character of the Father. Have you ever been told you're just like your parent? Does it feel good? That's a rule that, and it's no shade on my mom who's right here, but it's a rule that we have in our, Robin and I, that we don't say, you're just like your mom or you're just like your dad. She might have let that slip once or twice, but I've forgiven her. Anybody else relate? Yeah. Jesus gives this promise, they shall be called sons of God. It's not a future title. It's a present identity. When we are peacemakers, we are recognized as God's children. The world sees something different in us. They may call it something different, but I want our Father's attention, and I want to live out his character. Romans 8:19 says, and when Christ returns, our identity will be fully revealed. The creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Peacemakers are not just marked, they're blessed. Marked as God's own son is blessed. So as the midday approaches, what can we do? What can we do practically? I would say start with your own heart. I'm telling you, the world doesn't need a better version of Mario. They need Jesus living in me. So let me finish with this. Here's some practical ways. Start with your own heart. Are you at peace with God? Now, I appreciate all of you here this morning. It's Labor Day weekend. A lot of people leave for the weekend. And so you're purposely placing yourself in a position to hear a message. And so for that, I just say, I commend you. But I want to challenge you because you're here. I can't challenge a person that's not here. You're here for, I need to talk to you, not to the person that's not here. Are you at peace with God? Have you reconciled with God? Maybe you've been coming to church week after week and you love the culture, you love the people, they're very nice, and I think we have a very nice church. Everybody's friendly and kind and honest and genuine. And you just love that. You love that world. But you've never really bowed your knee to Jesus. So you might be in love with the culture, but you've never really given your heart, your life to Jesus. So I'm asking you, are you at peace with God? It only comes through Jesus. So I'm going to challenge you in that. How about in relationships? Is there someone you need to forgive? Someone you need to have a conversation with? How about in your community? Where there's, one of the things that just always shocks me is the stuff that comes out on social media. I like to watch people who... like last night, I watched a guy how to replace the armrest vinyl wrap, and put leather on it. I just like to do that. I know I'm weird. And so I'm like, I wonder what people would have to say. Instead of, you know, typically you might have good job. That was awesome. You know, you don't really see it. Thank you for taking time and showing us how to do it. It was like, why didn't you use this glue? You know, like, why didn't you do it that way? And like, wow, the criticism is so easy in that internet world. And there's so much division. So maybe the Lord is calling us to be a voice of a peacemaker in our community. Be a listener. Value the person that you're talking to. Maybe totally different perspective, you know, doesn't believe in Jesus, maybe different politically. Just give them the dignity of listening. I believe when you just listen to people and you're, you know, like genuinely listening, I believe that speaks volumes. You're literally saying, I value you as a person, as someone who is made in the image of God. I play adult league soccer, or as Robin would say, adult league walking, but I play soccer, I run. And I found that the best way for me to communicate God's love really is to listen. Just listen. And when that right opportunity comes, then you talk about reconciling with God. You know, our job as a church is to be peacemakers. So we need to pray for our enemies, pray for our city, pray for the church to be a witness of God's peace. And I pray that we do that regularly. So as I wrap it up here, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. This is our calling. If you're a follower of Jesus, our calling is to be a peacemaker. Again, as a church, we just don't want better versions of ourselves. We need to have Jesus as the center of our church. Sometimes we might need to step into conflict, but the goal is to bring reconciliation. I will say this is not easy for me. I think part of being called into the ministry, you have to love people. Well, you should love people. I don't think you have to. Does that make sense? So you want to love people, and so maybe your natural inclination is that you want them to love you back. And so that's kind of my default. So conflict is a challenge to that, because what happens if I bring, you know, something to their attention? They may not love me back, but my default is I want to love them. I want them to love me back. And so I think for pastors, this could be hard for many of us. But we need to do it, right? We're submitting our hearts and minds to Jesus. So it's not to avoid the conflict, but to step into it with the hope and peace of the gospel. Because when we do that, we are representing God's character. So let's be peacemakers, amen? Let's close our eyes for a moment. If you're new to our church, we like to do that to keep maybe some things in confidence. Is there an area in your life? We talked about those, your heart, relationships, maybe being a voice in the community, or pray for your enemies. Is there an area in your life you say, Pastor Mario, just going to ask you to raise your hand. Say, Pastor Mario, there's areas in my life that I need to be a peacemaker. I'm raising my hand. Yes, you can put your hands down. Lord, give us your heart. Lord, I pray right now, if there's someone that needs to be forgiven, someone we need to talk to, Lord, I pray, God, that you would give us your heart. And Lord, help us to be a peacemaker. Lord, if there's areas in our lives that are at odds with your character, we call that sin, Lord, things that are not in alignment with your character, Lord, I pray, God, that we would make it right. Ask for forgiveness. And, Lord, that we would begin to live the life that's in alignment with your character and who you are. Lord, we pray for our world. We live in a world that's so full of strife and anger, so much division. Lord, I pray, God, that, Lord, that we would be peacemakers, that we would listen and build bridges, and then speak the truth in love. You are truth. Your word is truth. So, Lord, we speak that truth in love. And Lord, then we pray for our people that we are at odds with. As you told us to pray for our enemies, Lord, I pray, God, that you would reach them with your love. Pray for our Tallahassee. Lord, we know there are some nice area homes and not so nice area homes, but Lord, the whole place needs Jesus. The Northeast needs Jesus as much as the Southwest. The Northwest needs Jesus as much as the Southeast, Father, in our community. So Lord, help us, and we pray for peace in our city. And Lord, help us to be a witness in the world that we are in, at work and at home. Lord, I pray, God, that our home is a place where you reside, and Lord, that your peace resides strongly there. Pray for all our marriages, and Lord, I pray, God, that our marriages are strong and our relationships are strong as an example of your character. But Lord, we can only do it as we fill our lives with you, God. So fill us with your presence, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord. I pray that you walk out in victory today. You don't have to wear a Florida State shirt to walk in victory. If you have Jesus in your heart, you're victorious. If you have an Alabama shirt, you're not a loser, okay? I want to encourage you, you're not a loser today. I had to sneak that in. So may the Lord be with you. Let me pray a blessing upon you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you. Lord, may the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. He is risen. God bless you. We are dismissed.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurch.com. TLH.com.